Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors. Welcome to the PI World interview at the beginning of June 2021. I'm Tamsin Freeman, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Paul Scott to give us an update of his views on the market and what he's been buying and selling. Paul, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tamsin. I love chatting about shares with you. So, happy to do it.
Thank you. So most of our viewers will know you from your Stockopedia Small Cap Value report. But for any that don't, could you give us a very quick overview of your background?
Yeah, certainly. I was a CFO for 8 years in the 1990s for a ladies' wear retailer called Pilot. And then after that, I've just been a small caps investor and commentator. So, and then, as you say, I write the small cap value reports on Stockopedia.com, a subscription site.
So how's 2021 been for you, and what's your performance to date?
It's been another very good year, hasn't it, so far? I don't normally keep performance statistics because I just look at things on an individual stock basis, but I check my SIP and that's up 34% year to date, which is pretty good. Most of my friends are in that kind of ballpark, mid-20s upwards, I would say. And in the last 6 months, it's up 56%. But if you look at the small caps index, SMXX, that's up a similar amount, about 50-55%. So I suppose you'd say I'm probably in line with market expectations.
And what's your view at the moment on the market and on current valuations? Can you find good value at the moment?
Yes, but not as much as a few months ago, for sure. I mean, obviously, valuations have dramatically increased. Everything's up by half, basically, in aggregate in small caps. But I think there are very good reasons for that. The vaccine rollout, it's now clear we are having a V-shaped economic recovery, which I didn't predict. So I look at four or five companies every day, trading updates and results, and most things are now beating expectations. David Thornton made a great point on your recent interview with him when he said that broker forecasts are ridiculously low in many cases and they're being far too cautious. So really, it's a question to my mind of identifying things like that and avoiding things where the market price has just gone up on sentiment and is now, in some cases, detached from reality. So I'm finding a lot of things that look fully valued or overvalued, which obviously I'm avoiding and trying to focus on the stuff that's smashing forecasts.
And of course, we've had a record number of placings and even IPOs. And one we've talked about a couple of times before, Revolution Bars did their placing and open offer last week. What are your views on that?
Well, I was very taken aback by it because it was done at a huge discount, and there's so much fury amongst the smaller private investors, I think, who, you know, rightly point out that the company very recently put out a really bullish trading update saying that they were trading their socks off in the limited amount of outdoor capacity they've got. The share price went up from 30p to about 40p on that news, and then they hit the market very soon afterwards with a deeply discounted placing at 20p, and a much bigger placing than people imagine. £21 million is a big dilution. So the share count will go up from 50 million to a total of 230 million in two stages, the placing they did the summer last year. So like everyone else, I think my initial reaction was incredulity, even anger. But I've taken a lot of soundings on this, and I've spoken to the broker concerned, who basically said to me, look, they didn't know whether it was going to start with a two or a three, and they took it to a lot of institutions, and what they found was that to do that size of raise, the price was 20p. That was the price where the institutions were prepared to provide the money. And there's nothing we can do about that. But as one of the big holders I sounded out on this said to me, look, private investors can now buy in the market at about 22p or 23p, which is only 10 or 15% more than the placing price. But they've got the certainty of knowing that, A, they can move in and out at will because it's in small size in a more liquid market. The institutions didn't. They have to put this money in. It's in for the duration. And also, when the institutions signed up for the placing, They didn't know if it would succeed or not. They just put in a firm order and hoped for the best. So I think actually having had time to sleep on this over the long weekend, I think it's more finely balanced than people think. And the key thing is, I think, if you thought it was worth 35 or 40p before the placing, then according to my sums, even with the dilution, it's probably worth 30 to 35p. If, as I think will happen, they'll have a bonanza in trading between now and Christmas, I think. Therefore, for me, it's a strong buy now. Because, you know, it's not going to get back to a quid or 2 quid a share because there's so many more shares in issue. But I think from 20p to 30p, which is a 50% gain, is looking entirely possible within months. So providing, as everything has the caveat, that we don't get another huge outbreak of a mutated form of COVID. You know, if that happens, then all bets are off. So I think the key thing with this is to quickly digest the facts when a discounting placing is announced. You've got that 1 hour, haven't you, between 7 and 8 a.m. to decide what to do. Get the emotions out of the way within 5 minutes, then just focus on the facts and the figures. And I think it's no good just holding. I think you need to make a buy more or a sell decision when there's a deeply discounted placing. Because if you do nothing, you're just going to get diluted and lose a lot of the upside. So for me personally, as always, never advice, I've been buying more.
Do you think it illustrates that there's a slightly dampened appetite for placings now?
Very much so. Yeah, I took widespread soundings on this from everybody, brokers, friends in the city and private investors. So I've listened and digested to everybody. And the guys in the city are saying to me that in the last month or so, sentiment has really changed. They said, you know, the city, the big investors are now kind of placinged and IPO'd out. And there's only a finite amount of extra money that can do these things. There have been so many fundraisings that stuff that would have gone through on the nod a few months ago, the entities are now playing hardball because they know that not as many people want to take part in these placings. So they are starting to demand discounts. And if they're, particularly as in with Revolution Bars, if they're basically getting the bank off the hook, they play hardball and they want their pound of flesh in terms of a discount. So I think people need to be really careful not to hold too many stocks that have weak balance sheets that need fundraisings because the environment has changed.
And could you have seen this one coming?
I should have done, shouldn't I? And I apologise to any of my followers who, you know, like me, didn't see this coming. I should have done. In a way, I broke my own rules. We knew it was tight on the bank facilities, but I did all the numbers and could prove that they still had, you know, a certain amount of headroom on the bank facilities. So why they didn't wait a few more months until they were trading their socks off, I don't know. But anyway, look, it's happened. But yeah, I should have seen it coming and I didn't, so apologies on that.
So what else have you been buying? Where is the value? Where are you seeing opportunities?
Well, I thought I'd run through 10 stocks really, really quickly. I put them into categories to emphasise and remind myself what they are, really. So all of these are things I hold. So yes, I'm talking my own book, because obviously I buy the things that I think are the best. So on value shares, we've got SCS, and that's the sofa company. I still think that's astonishingly cheap on a low PE and with a balance sheet stuffed full of cash. Next one, Smiths News, SNWS. This one we talked about, I think, in my top 10 portfolio review that I've done recently on Stockopedia. So I won't repeat that. But basically, the debt is under control. The pension surplus money is coming back to the company. It's got a receipt from Tufnell's sale deferred. When that happens, this thing will have net debt to EBITDA of 1x, and it's going to start paying dividends, even special dividends, and it's on a PE of about 5. So I think that's got great news flow coming.
You're not worried about structural decline in the industry?
Yes, that is an issue. So it's not something to hold forever. But I just think it's the wrong price currently. I think you can justify 8 or 9x, not 4 or 5x PE. So yeah, this one's more of a one-off re-rating, then I'll move on.
And what's your target price?
About 80p, and they're okay. 43 or 44 something, yeah. It won't appeal to everyone for the reason you say, but I think you could be locking in a dividend yield of nearly 10%, I think, at the current level. So I think that's attractive. A third value share is Virtu Motors, VTU. Now, that is particularly interesting because I think it's trading around net tangible book value, which is mostly freehold property. So you're getting the business almost in for free. It's a hybrid of a property company and a car dealership. Recent big upgrades in broker forecasts. I think that's from Liberum. So you're getting that on a PE of about 8 on the very latest broker upgrades, which people might not have seen. Also, secondhand car values are shooting up at the moment, and that's about a third of their profit. And the restricted supply of new vehicles, because of the semiconductor shortage, works to their advantage because margins go up. So there's a lot to like about that. Nice value share.
And your target price on that?
I don't really have one, actually, but I think there could be 50% upside on the current level.
Very nice.
I don't know.
Liberum had about 80p, didn't they?
Oh, possibly. I don't know. But yeah, so those are the three value picks. Shall I move on to my GARP picks?
Yes, do.
Just cut in if you want me to shut up at any point, Tamsin. You know what I'm like.
Never.
I'm forever. Somero, ticker SOM. I think David Thornton mentioned this as well. I've really liked this stock for years.
You were buying that in the middle of, like, I don't know, June last year or something, weren't you?
Probably, yeah. I've had it a while, but I might buy some more if it softens a bit from the current level. I think it's just a really good one to hold. They came into this year saying, oh, it's going to be a year of consolidation. We're going to increase sales and marketing costs. And I think people lost interest and moved on. But I think it was quite recently, they actually put out a fairly significant beat against forecasts so far for 2021. And when you crunch the numbers, to me, it still looks cheap. You've got a bulletproof balance sheet. So cash generative. It's incredible. Pays out divvies and special dividends. And probably only scratching the surface of the market globally. So, yeah, I really like that one. Next one is Joules, ticker J-O-U-L. This one is a retailer, but they've shifted about 3/4 of their sales online now, which is the most impressive part of it. I'm not interested in retailers unless they can do that shift to online. It's got this marketplace as well with third-party brands. This is another one where it was starting to look really toppy. You can see from that chart it's gone up a hell of a lot. But Liberum, again, have just put out a note on that, which is well argued, hugely increasing the future year's forecasts, which has brought the forward PE right down again. So, again, I think there's a bit of a window of opportunity there I want to buy more of those, but it just keeps going up nearly every day, which is a bit frustrating. So I'm hoping for a market wobble to let me get some more. Next one on the GARP shares is Boohoo, ticker B00. I won't go on about that. Everyone knows the story. ESG worries and a sector derating because of worries about online taxes have brought the valuation right down, based on next year's earnings forecasts of about 15p from Zeus Capital. I think this one's on a forward PE of about 21, which, given the company's track record, is ludicrously cheap, I think. So I think at some point that starts going up again and re-rates. No idea when.
Isn't it always an issue when institutions have lost the appetite because, in this case, it doesn't satisfy their ESG credentials?
Depends on your time scale. For me, it doesn't matter because I'm not planning on selling this stock ever. It's just a buy and hold forever stock. So, and I'm you know, if it goes sideways for another year, it really doesn't bother me. Yes, I'll get a bit worked up and frustrated, but it won't change my view of the fundamentals. So I'm just basing my judgment. And I think what the company's actually done on ESG is so comprehensive. They can't be faulted for what they're trying to do to sort this out. So that's an important point as well, I think. ASOS has derated a lot as well. I hold that one now as well. I think this change to online shopping is permanent. Yeah. Yes, lockdowns might have stimulated it a bit, but Boohoo continued to trade very strongly last summer when the shops reopened, which I thought is an important point people may have overlooked. So growth companies then, these are more speculative. So the first one is Sosandar, SOS. Now, I did originally get a bit overexcited about that when it originally floated. It was my biggest position for a while. I called on it when the cash burn and the repeated fundraisers seemed to limit the upside somewhat. But the news flow more recently has been very, very strong. So I think it's worth people having another look at that one. As always, none of these are recommendations. They're just my personal views. I might have overlooked something or got something wrong. And some of these will work and some of them won't. So, but I do think it's people may not have twigged that the third-party sales through John Lewis, Next and Marks and Spencer's marketplaces have been very, very good. And they've just done another placing. Now, interestingly enough, that I think it was N+1 Singer got that away at the full market price. No discount. I was taken inside on it, but then about an hour later, they said, actually, forget it. They don't need any of our money. They've filled the deal already. So really surprising, to be honest, but that's a very good sign, because that says to me institutions are queuing up to invest in that, because they and they could well be follow-on buyers in the market. So I think sentiment has changed on that one, so it's worth a fresh look with fresh eyes, I think.
Were you expecting the raise there?
Yes and no. I mean, I was amazed at how they got through the whole pandemic period with pretty much neutral cash burn, which was very, very surprising. They slashed the marketing spend, but they still managed to get reasonably good growth without spending all this money on marketing. So I think it really highlights the big advantage of an online model, that if unforeseen events do happen, you can just slash your overheads. Whereas, of course, the physical retailers, as we know, end up, the only way they can do that is doing a CVA or a pre-pack administration. Yeah, so they were going to raise at some point, but if they can get it away at full price, great. And they floated at 15p, remember, and they're about 24p now, even after, you know, quite a few unplanned fundraisers. So I think, again, I think that one's coming good. And the market cap's not particularly high. So, yeah, worth a fresh look. Last one of the growth shares, then, is Cambridge Cognition, COG. This is another one where the news flow has really changed for the better, much, much better, under a new CEO who's done very, very much more commercially focused now. The order book ending 2020 was, I think, had more than doubled, and it's 80% margins. They've got nearly the whole of 2021 forecast revenue in the bag, contracted. So, and they reach break even in Q4 2020. So I think, again, this to my mind has fundamentally changed for the better. Shares have gone up quite a lot, but it's still quite good value, I think.
And they've got a capital markets day, I think, in about a week's time.
They? Yeah. Oh, that quite often means a fundraise, doesn't it? But I mean, I don't mind a fundraise if it dilutes 10% or something. You know, that really isn't, which I think Sosandar was about 10 or 12%. That's fine. It's where you get the deeply discounted stuff, because that really puts you on the spot, because you have to stand your ground and buy more. Otherwise, you've lost the upside, you know, as we've seen with Revolution Bars. So Cambridge Cognition, yeah, as I say, a bit more speculative. They have had false dawns in the past, so but we'll see. And then the turnarounds, just a couple of turnarounds to flag up to. Sanderson Design Group, SDG, used to be called Walker Greenbank. I was on a Zoom quite recently where the FD and the CEO presented. And I really rate the CEO there, Lisa Montague, I think she's called. And she just has such clarity, I think, in the turnaround plan. She's just really grabbed the low-hanging fruit on this. She's halved the number of SKUs, stock-keeping units, from over 2,000 to about 1,000, just focusing on the best sellers. And she's cut down new product launches. It's wallpaper and soft furnishings, basically, all made in the UK. So they've got advantages now over competitors that have to shuttle things backwards and forwards from Europe. So Brexit is working to their advantage. Again, the forecasts had an amazingly good H2 that they've just reported. And it looks like they've stripped out £3.5 million per annum in costs. Sadly, about 10% of the workforce. But they're doing all the product launches now online only. So they just didn't need a fleet of people on the road showing the product physically to customers. Customers now actually want the product launches online. So that's transformational for them. Cockney Rebel was talking about this one the other day as well, I think. And I agree with him. I think it could be on a single digit PE, even though it's quadrupled in price. And I don't think we're taking a lot of risk because they've got such a strong balance sheet with 14 million net cash. So I really like that one. But it's so difficult, isn't it, buying more of a share that's gone up fourfold?
Absolutely.
Really difficult. I've been umming and ahhing about buying more all the way up on that chart, and I didn't. So, there we go. And the last one, really just a bit of a wild card, N Brown, ticker BWNG. Now these, gosh, they're the most impenetrable accounts I've seen in a long time for a small cap. It took me about 6 hours to get my head around them because it's a hybrid of a high interest, high default finance company and an online retailer. It doesn't really make much genuine profit. The EBITDA number is a complete red herring because they have these enormous IT costs of about 39 million a year that they capitalize. So EBITDA's me. Plus, of course, they have about 20 million a year in finance costs to finance the huge receivables book. So once you've unpicked that, it's not a great company, it's not making much money. Loads of things need sorting out. But I think again, the management showed on a recent Zoom that they know what the issues are and they're working on them. And if you work out what this business could make if they got decent product margins and got the default rate down a bit, it could be a very interesting turnaround. I think this could be taken private as well, as Lord Alliance and his family are buying quite heavily in the open market right now, and they own over 50%, which can be a precursor to a full bid, I think. So yeah, that was my top, well, not my top 10, but 10 interesting ideas I thought readers might like to look at themselves.
All that you've been looking at and buying into over the last 5 months.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these I've held much longer than that. So they're not all recent buys as such, but they're things where I've either topped up, so I'm adding to an existing position, or I want to buy more, but I'm waiting for some dips.
So just as importantly, what have you been selling?
Well, only really two positions that I can think of off the top of my head. The first one is called Big Dish, ticker DISH. Now, the company has changed its business model. What I invested in was several times. What I invested in was a dining app, a discount dining app. Now, of course, when all the restaurants were forced to close, they put that on hold and then sort of came up with revised business plans. And the latest one is they're doing a startup venture, making vegan meat alternatives. And I sort of went with the flow for a little while because I thought, well, it's not their fault the restaurants have been closed. And I only paid about a penny a share anyway for the bulk of my holding. But it was just drifting back down towards a penny. I think it went down to about 1.3p. And I just thought after a while, this is not what I originally invested in. I don't really want to own shares in a startup meat-free food product company. So I've just been dribbling the position out as and when there's demand in the market. I've got a few left for old time's sake, just in case it multi-bags. But that one had to go. And the other one I sold, I really re regret selling this one now, was Gattaca, GATC. I sold those at £1.50 because it looked like they had sort of reached a plateau. They put out a good trading update and they didn't move. So I thought, okay, maybe this has run its course. It had gone from 50p to £1.50. I was late to the party, but I made a reasonable return on it. So I sold them. Of course, sod's law kicked in and it's now nearly £2 days after I sold.
They're recruitment, aren't they?
They are, and I mean, I can completely understand why people are bullish about the recruitment staffing sector because it's first into a recession and first out. I just thought the price was up with events, but clearly I got that wrong. So I sold at £1.50-ish, as I say, about 197 now. They've got a quite a big legal case going on in America as well, which had involved several million in legal costs, which just made me slightly uneasy. But yeah, I sold it too early. So there we go.
And presumably, those buying are buying because they're anticipating upgrades ongoing.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice if people filled in a form and said why they're buying or selling, wouldn't it? Then we could gauge. So we can't. Who knows? We can't. I suppose by implication, yes. And if it does hit the targets that have just come out from Equity Development, it'll be good value. It's just that in the past they've had a little bit of a checkered history of warning on profits and so on. I mean, a lot of these businesses though have stripped out a ton of costs during the pandemic. So you could see quite a lot of companies, I think, that have restructured actually, produce earnings considerably above pre-pandemic levels. which is bullish for the market overall, I think. So it's well worth checking to see if companies have restructured in the last year.
Can I just pick up on a few that you mentioned when we last spoke? There was
Sure, yeah,
the
far away.
Foxtons placing that you bought into about last June or last summer sometime. How are you feeling about Foxtons now?
I think it's fully valued now. I mean, what's the price now? About 60p. Yeah, I did. I've sold those actually around about the current level, because I just crunched the numbers and I thought, well, I don't think it's going to get back to previous levels of profitability during that insane boom in London property prices. I think it's a good solid business. Don't worry. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Foxtons, and there has been quite a lot of M&A activity in that sector. So I just basically needed to take a bit of risk off the table, went through my portfolio and looked for things that I probably had the least conviction in. So nothing wrong with it, but I needed to, I think I had a margin call, which is quite routine for me, and I just had to pluck some stuff out that needed to go, and that one was one of them.
And best of the best. You've been in for ages and ages. It's sold off
Yeah,
a bit recently. What are your
it
views on
has.
that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we both love this one, don't we? I know it's one of your favourites as well. So, well, what do you think? You tell me.
Well, I wasn't really expecting a beat, but the market obviously was. So the share price got hammered when they came out with an inline. I think they're just investing for future growth, and that will come through. And at the moment, I don't think the PE is expensive. But I'm not the expert, Paul. What do you
You
think?
are, you are. You pretend you're not, but you are. And I'm definitely going to keep nagging you to do it. Let me interview you, but I want to do that. So no, I agree with all of that. I mean, forward PE is I think about 18 or 20 now. Absolutely stellar growth in earnings over the last year or two. The company point is at points pains to point out that wasn't actually driven by lockdown, but I think the market's skeptical about that. And obviously management's selling off a big chunk of the equity, although they're still huge holders, at £24, I think it does tend to act as a bit of a magnet for the share price, doesn't it? But yeah, I think yeah, I've still got some. It's not a huge position anymore, but it's one of my sort of solid middle type positions that I'll just hold for the long term.
So when did you get out? Was it the early 30s?
I'm trying to think. No, I was selling before that. I think I sold some of, just dribbled them out because it's very illiquid. I sold some, I think, in the low 20s, maybe as low as 18. I can't remember exactly, Tamsin. I did get a few more away at around 30 quid because I thought, well, management have just sold some at 24, so 30 seems quite a big premium. I think it would drop down to say 20. I'd go back in and buy. I think Roland had put out an article recently questioning the regulatory framework. I think that might have made a few people wobble as well.
Although, do you think there's a case to be argued there?
I don't know. I'm not an expert on that, but all I can say in that the 7 or 8 years I've held the shares and talked to management, they've demonstrated that they're very adept at navigating these changes to betting duty, VAT, and so on. And they're very smart, very grounded people who I think, if they maybe need to tweak the competition in some way, they'll do it. So I can't say, but I'm reasonably comfortable they'll probably handle it well.
And Gear for Music will be giving their results later this month. What are
Oh, cool.
your views at the moment on Gear for Music?
I love it. I really, really like that company. Again, I think at the moment the market is. There's some forecasts out there that show a huge fall in earnings per share based on the market seems to have decided that the huge upgrowth in profitability was entirely due to lockdown. There was some of that for sure. A lot of people took up an instrument, particularly in lockdown one, I believe. But there are other product categories that got hammered because musicians couldn't meet up and play live. So things like amps and all the electrical equipment and speakers and so on, I think those could well surge. Although, of course, I don't know the offset between that and people buying musical instruments for their kids. So I just instinctively feel that I think a lot of the growth is structural and set to continue. And I think the broker forecasts look way too pessimistic. So again, this one's a coffee can share for me. I'm just going to hold it for the duration there.
Superb. And markets generally, by the end of the year, end of December, do you think we'll be higher or lower than we are now?
No idea. Absolutely no idea. I just look at the individual companies, and the fundamentals, and all I'm seeing on a literally on a daily basis is very good reporting from trading updates and results statements. We're up against really soft comparatives now from last year. So I think the company fundamentally, V-shaped economic recovery, reopening going on. So subject to COVID not mutating into a more dangerous form, then I would say company fundamentals are very strongly moving in the right direction now. And you've got this supposedly 150 billion sitting in household bank accounts, looking for a home. So yeah, I'm very, very upbeat on company fundamentals. What the market does, I have no idea, because it's driven so much by sentiment, I think, and short-term trading. So if I'm allowed to, I'll just be neutral on that, but positive on the fundamentals.
Huge thanks, Paul. Tell people where they can find you.
So I write a daily report along with a co-writer on Jack Brumby, and Roland Head kindly helped bailed me out last week when Jack was busy. So we're on stockopedia.com. As I say, it's a subscription website, fantastic website that's very popular. Lots of really, really useful data on there and easy to use graphics and so on. So I'm a big fan of Stockopedia, and they're amazing people. And how they put up with me for 8 years, I have no idea. They're extremely tolerant. That's all I can say.
But you do an awful lot for them and for all of us. It's an absolutely fantastic resource. So thank
Thank
you for
you.
that, and thank you for your time today. Really, really appreciate it. And you can go off and enjoy your afternoon now.
Thanks, Tamsin. Thanks,
And to all our listeners, you'll find many more educational interviews at piworld.co.uk, either as a video or as a podcast to listen as you go. Many thanks for joining us, and stay well. PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.